items. First order of business is the resolution number 35-2016. We need to amend it, 33-2016, to have a public hearing for Local Law 2 for April 20th and not April 17th. And the reason for that is because April 17th is Sunday. So we will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Jared, and a second by Patrick, to have public hearing for Local Law 2 on April 20th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. Resolution number 36-2016, appointing Michael DeBenedictis to part-time senior center clerk at a rate of pay of $15.24, effective March 17th, 2016. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Patrick McAuliffe.
I'll second.
Seconded by Jared. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Abstained.
Abstained by Mr. Antonelli. Motion is carried. Correspondence. We had an invitation from the town of Ghent. They have established a broadband committee. They have a meeting on March 30th. I think we could post this on our town page. Just if there are any interested citizens that would like to be involved, there's a degree of frustration around the first round of funding that has been released, or at least is being entertained for application with the broadband program office. And the town of Ghent had extended an invitation to anyone from Greene County that would like to join them. So we'll share that in the appropriate places. The Pilgrim Pipeline update and summary. We actually have a communication from the municipalities who met last Monday, March 14th, and our town attorney, Mr. Smith, attended. They sent us an update. They identified two key areas that we as a town should be apprised of. One is that the seeker comment period is coming, and we should be sure that we're heard. And I sent a note out to Renee Van Schaik for the IDA to express their impressions in terms of economic development. But then I also asked Mary Beth Bianconi regarding any issues there could be in terms of our sewer project. Welcome, gentlemen. Have a seat. We'll be right with you. And Mary Beth actually posted three areas that we want to make sure. One was the crossing underneath the thruway. The other for our village colleagues is any water infrastructure where there may be impact. And Renee's impact, obviously, for economic development, as I had referenced. I also think one of you had mentioned first responder challenges with this. It's just in terms of if anything happened and the size of it and the need for response could be challenging in the environment that we're in. We don't have a hospital on this side, et cetera. So we're going to need to get this together. My thought is that we work with Attorney Smith. And if you wouldn't mind taking the first responder feedback, what else do we want to do? I guess
that water line runs under the thruway. Yeah. So, you know, they've had a habit over the years, even when we did sewers years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, put the water line in and put the sewer on top of the water line, which was always a problem. They should have did it the other way around. So, and I think the comment that Mary Beth made was, if they do go ahead with this project, that it has to be buried deeper than our lines are.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And you got the same, you know, in the water and the other, and plus it's something on Carl's property too, I think.
Right.
It goes right into his property.
Right. And that's where Renee had said that the cost, you know, the value of that land for us to be able to develop it would be severely impacted. So,
you know, coming down Jefferson during the day, you know, you watch the train go over the trestle. And it's surprising how many oil cars that they're going over that thing every day. Mm-hmm. One of them ever, you know, of course, one went off it. It wasn't one of those cars, but when they had an accident and one of where the cars went over to the river there.
Mm-hmm.
That can be really dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, and that's that new, that's that Bach oil, right? The Bach crude oil?
Yeah. So we'll know if we get a request to provide comments during the scoping period. Can I ask, you know, if you do first responder and then someone work on the sewer thing just to make sure that we're working with Mary Beth and have the right language? And then if George, if there's any impact, I don't know. How about you? Is there any impact from your perspective? Okay.
Well, they want to run it.
Well, right. What about the highway department?
Don't they want to run it through your?
Well, don't run it. Yeah, out there. Yeah. I don't know which way to go on it. You know, if they're going to build a new shop, hey, it's great. You know, they're going to take it, and we have to owe some public tax dollars
right.
for everything.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the things where it's up in the air for me. Mm-hmm. Do I want to go on through there? No. I do like to see, you know, progress. Doesn't seem like that's the right
promise. Right, right. So I think everybody who's a subject matter expert in the area that they're in, when it's time to put this stuff together, we'll just make sure we get it down, and then we'll have Michael. The other element that was posted in this discussion was eminent domain and the impact of eminent domain on state on municipality-owned land. And I don't know if anybody's had any experience with that. I have not, so I don't know.
I don't know how they can. They're private.
Right. We talked about that briefly the other day. I mean, did you talk to Michael about it?
He was at that meeting, and he needs to update us on this. So the next opportunity we get to sit with him to find out legally. There was some comments in this regarding that, and I haven't had a chance to read it thoroughly, and I wanted to make sure that he interpreted it for us. The eminent domain procedures law, which was adopted in the 70s, would likely supersede the procedural provisions regarding eminent domain in the original Transportation Corporation law. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, and I think we'll need legal counsel just to make sure that we're all in the right place. We got two other correspondences regarding Pilgrim. One was regarding the co-lead debate. We need to do public comment, which we'll work with Michael Smith on, in terms of they want our feedback on our willingness to accept the co-lead the way they are with a certain, if there is an issue with either side, there'd be a resolution process. And then the third communication that we received was from the town of Newburgh, who have actually volunteered to be co-lead for their section. So there could be, if there's 18 communities that go down the Hudson, you could have 18 co-leads, which, you know, but what they want is for their segment, they feel they have the capacity to be co-lead on the part that impacts their, which I always thought they were a city, but they're a town. So we'll see what happens, but I just think it's important for us all to stay on this, because. Oh, there could be. There could be. So it could be the town that's impacted. So we'll see. Well, we just got to stay close to this. So, and I thought Mary Beth's input was valuable. So I'm glad that she did that.
Part of that, so there's some of the towns passed resolutions to stop them.
Yeah, and we have too.
We did. Yeah.
Did we pass?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We passed it that said we did not support it, primarily because of our economic impact, but that doesn't necessarily stop them. Every municipality in the state of New Jersey, based on this communication, has passed a resolution against it. So we'll see what happens. Rest of the correspondence, Martin Luther King Community Resource Day, sponsored by the Greene County Department of Human Services, March 24th at the Washington Irving Senior Center, 9 to 2, free to the general public. Stop in to visit the area vendors, and there will be plenty of things, samples, etc. And the survey to support financial aid applications for the proposed wastewater collection system for Leeds and Jefferson Heights. So when Mary Beth Bianconi was here the last time, we determined that we wanted to go forward with an individual income survey, which is supportive of us trying to help defray the costs of the project to the end user, to our residents. We did not qualify when it was done more broadly. So what we want to do is show our financial eligibility, and that means that we're going in specifically to Leeds. The letters were sent out to residents in the last several days, and a shout-out to Clerk Izzo, who got this out in a very timely fashion, and we thank you. So we're asking people to return these. This is completely anonymous. So you fill out the form regarding your own data, but it is anonymous. And we are hopeful if we can get at least 50% of the households, and this could mean that we will need to go door to door, that we will be able to submit this and be eligible for the second round of funding.
I think you should also be clarified that if you have rentals, they're not interested in the person that owns the property. They're interested for the people that have rentals, for them to fill it out and mail it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones that, you know, ultimately, I guess, you know, help pay for this project.
Right. Because that, you know, their rent is paying for this, so.
The letter might go out to accidentally get this to the owner of the house that doesn't live there, but they have it rented, mm-hmm. rented all out. So they got to give this to these rental people. So
yeah.
They go out.
Well, and I think, Liz, you were able to do some sorting on that because they put together a pretty sophisticated spreadsheet for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just bringing it up.
No, I agree. I agree. Because there are people out there who own five residences, right? Yeah. Yep. So any sharing of this with your neighbors, any publication of this would be appreciated. We can certainly put it on our different media vehicles, but I'd be happy to speak further to the Daily Mail regarding this as something that would be really helpful for the community. Mr. Beers.
Yes, that's my father.
Mr. Beers Jr. We'd like to review the agreement for the expenditure of highway monies and my points on highway.
Yes.
Any
no.
questions or concerns? Or
looking to chip seal MBUF to MBOC. So MBOC Road, I'm guessing, up to Eitan's house? To the end of
MBOC to 9W, which is 2.4 miles. And Mossy Hill from 23A. Mortar pave that and chip seal it. And I'm sure we'll have extra money just coming in new. I don't want to, you know, go crazy. So I want to get it done as early as possible. Then see that. And if we have extra, I have other roads I would still like to do.
I think they all, everything has to be listed on the 284 agreement of what you're going to do. Even though you might not complete all the projects. But what you're doing is you're asking for $200,000.
That's for general repairs on all the roads.
And it has to be spelled out on these 284 agreements.
I went on the past ones, and I mean, I might be wrong. I'm definitely not. I went on past the agreement, the last one that I found, which was 2014, and it was basically spelled out with $200,000, and it was about $140,000 in the roads. And these, the money that we want taken out to definitely do the roads. So either way, I mean, it's not like I'm going to blow the money. I'm just trying to keep a buffer. And I spoke with Patrick yesterday, and he says, you know, we can, after the fact, if we see we have more money, we can amend it, do another 284.
Well, what I'm saying is you can do a 284 agreement and put down all the work that has to be done. But you're not going to have the money. You might not have the money for it. But, you know.
That's why I put down what I know I have the money for.
Yeah, which is $130,000, but we were asking for $200,000. So.
But that's general repairs on all the roads. That's 81 miles. That, and like I said, I could. It's the first time I've done it. With other highway superintendents and with Patrick that did it last year. And, you know, it's a...
For what?
Total.
It's the 45 and 69. is the total.
Oh, not 200.
That's 200,000.
And the other day when I spoke with Nicole, there was 211 in the budget for highway maintenance and repairs.
Yeah, but did we get the chips? Did the chips come in yet?
It hasn't come. I spoke with, you had 175 in the budget for chips, and I spoke with Brian Hurst. He says, be confident with at least what we got last year. That's why I don't want to go crazy, because we haven't got it until, he says, May 11th. Now, when I was in Holden the other day, they said, yes, we'll have that. Of course, you know, we never know. So I didn't want to go over on our paving. I'm just I'm trying to cover the bases. And, you know, if I can get this stuff done, if I get all the money, figure out in May what we get, maybe the end of May, beginning of June, I can get these projects done. And then by August, maybe I can do more. Maybe I can't, but I don't want to break the town. Also, I want to keep a little bit in the chips fund, you know, for down the road.
Right, and I think what Robert was saying is that you could have made this a wish list as opposed to these are the two things I'm going to do.
No,
it doesn't matter. You can come back. You can come back.
That was what I was kind of hoping for, was to be able to, you know, come back in June or July and do another for, say, okay, we have this much money left. Can we do this? You guys say yay or nay?
Yeah. So are these the two that you feel have the highest priority at this point?
Yes.
In terms of need?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm good. Anybody have any other?
I'm just trying to understand this.
Yeah, it took me weeks.
I'm reading it as section one covers general repairs of all the roads, so that's 200,000.
Yeah.
And section two covers two additional.
Right.
Permanent.
Which comes out of the 200?
Okay, because the way I'm reading it is it's 200 plus another.
I know, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Dug through and I found older ones and I spoke with
weird the way the form's written out, it's weird.
Yeah, and there's no instructions for it.
No.
No words.
No, you just had to go off of what the ones before you. That's
which
all
hopefully all the ones before
so
were done.
I spoke with Tommy Boy off the mountain. He's the highway.
So he's the guru.
Association for the president for this county. He's also with the state association. John Farrell's our vice president for the county.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, it's
and MBUF, you're just adding life to it because that was motor paved back in 2005 or 6. So doing this chip seal, you're going to add 10 years life to it.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just, and there is, you know, some work to do to get it prepped for it, and that's where that 200,000. The rest of, you know, what was it, 100? You said 130. That's where that other money, you know, comes into. Mm-hmm. I'll keep the receipts and hopefully be able to put that through chips too. So,
well, to me, you know, chips money is sent to us to fix our roads.
Right.
Not to save it. You know, so I don't have a problem. If you get $175,000, you know, they're made to fix our roads.
Well, saving them is fixing them.
If I'm sitting in Auburn and I was the one giving out this money and I saw that towns were carrying over, you know, $100,000, $75,000, I would say to myself, gee, maybe they don't need the money. They're always carrying over every year.
I agree with some point, but we have a bridge that we could actually use probably some of the money if we did have a carryover for
them. I mean, the downside to the whole thing, the downside is the state is, they want you to pay for it, so it takes it out of our money,
right.
And then we've got to sit back and pull our hands out waiting for that money to come back in. And that's where the problem comes in with the chips money.
No, I agree. That's why I don't want to go freezing it. That's why I only...
Well, the only thing I'm saying...
That watch that I'm going to do for sure.
Yeah, no, the only thing I'm saying, Sean, is I'm not criticizing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, you know, when you look at this, you look at everything. It's like what you said. Maybe it's a wish list. These are what I want to accomplish, you know.
Well, I can break that paper. I'd rather not do that on a 284 agreement because basically once you guys sign that, if I put $300,000 worth of work there, you're okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you
$300,000 worth of work. So.
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. In 18 years I've been on the board, I've never signed one of these.
That's okay.
You're bringing up a good point. Is,
do you want to make it a first?
And you bring up a good point in that the bridge repair. How's that coming along with the county?
The county is willing to order, keep everything under bid, on their bid prices. They've got it lower, but it's still nowhere near what we can afford. We're hoping that the state, the governor, will open up this new bridge program for all the counties. But only so many counties are going to get so much of it.
Right, and we only have one bridge.
Well, no, we have a lot, but you know, one major one.
The town of Casco.
It needs to be done. So, and, I learned a lot on the other day. It was a lot taken at once, but it's we're keeping our fingers crossed. You know, there was 800 highway superintendents and foremen and that there to try to bring the numbers up. And we met with Mr. McDonald. I'm not sure if he's a senator or assemblyman. Mr. Lopez is his representative. George Amador's representative. Our districts met with all of them, so we're trying.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything about that Cornell program where they give you a student to come in and grade your roads and give you a 5-year plan?
Yeah, but without the governor opening this 5-year plan, I don't see if they're really doing that shit. So
I had learned about it 2 years ago when I went to
association.
Yeah,
they
set you up with a computer program.
That's one of the things the association is trying to get. It's a 5-year plan so we know how much CHIPS money we're going to have this year, next year, year for 5 years. Because they want everybody to have a 10-year plan. But most roads aren't getting touched. You know, they get touched now, and then it's going to be 15, 20 years before they get touched again because we don't know what we're doing. And we don't know how much money we're going to get. So just keeping our fingers crossed that the governor and the assembly and Senate does. We hope they do. But,
good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
He's going to build a bridge.
The other thing is, you know, we're slowly getting QuickBooks up, so we're going to be able to get a live look at our budget.
Yeah.
We certainly didn't plow as much as we did. I know that we have to get through December of this year so that there's, you know, two ends of this season. But we should think about whether that does anything for us and how flexible that funding is. And I'll rely on you guys to tell me whether there's any opportunity for. I know it can't leave that fund, but is there any you know, you guys should think about that if there's anything you can do with that.
We've been discussing a little bit.
Yeah, that was supposed to meet. The last time I had that one meeting, me and you and Michael had upstairs with Torres, he was saying in the middle of March he would meet with me, try to order everything and see where everything is at.
Yep.
The line items on the budget, the numbers are.
Yeah,
a little off. Everything's good. So
exactly, and yours actually, they didn't break it down as far as George was able to break his down. So yours has a little ways to go, and then hopefully you'll even have a better look.
Yeah.
So
we're supposed to meet sometime. Excuse me, this month. And
cool.
Figure out where we can go.
Okay.
Was there any? Did Rich get anything for that bridge that we were supposed to fix?
They were rejected.
Wasn't that part of the that money we owed?
That was
rejected. Wasn't that?
Yes.
Any news on the trucks? June, July?
One might be ready. The International will probably be ready next week. The Dodges are, there's two of them in Monticello. Getting chassis. For some reason, they just decided to send bodies to the paint shop. They, just not holding my breath on them anytime soon. So maybe April. We got through one.
Yep.
Yep. And I'll give it to you, Bob. He says, we don't get winners like we used to, but we really got it this year.
You can move down to Florida.
Yeah,
and I have some
really
salt. I have some salt if anybody'd like to buy it, too, right?
In all the years that I've been involved in any bids or anything, I don't know what that'll happen. Something's happened why we didn't get these trucks.
Yeah, I don't either.
It doesn't take 7 or 8 months.
Well,
November
an hour.
Yeah.
So
is our
finance? I would probably do business with Green.
Is our finance
again,
team
even have
still?
The courtesy to call and
do
say
we need
that
to
we've got a problem.
Were these leases?
Yeah. Well, there's more experience too. I would like to anything I buy from now on, I'm going to put
so we don't have
our
ahead of time. Interest rate is
normally
locked.
Normally,
right, because they'll only lock it in for 30 days or 90 days.
If there is, the paper's not required.
No, there's not.
Right.
So I'll have to put it.
We're going on 8 months. That's crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the 17th is
what I say. Let's just start over.
Yeah,
agree. Yeah,
anything else on behalf of the highway folks or our point guys, highway people? All right. Okay.
Get ready to mow grass.
Thank you. We just signed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. George, I know we're going to see you for some other issues, but anything you want to share tonight?
The good news is not a lot has changed since last month. Bad news is not a lot has changed since last month.
Right.
Still no word from the Bureau of Narcotics on our narcotics license.
Okay.
Jared, you would want to call Amadon's office and Lopez, did you?
We have a call in, yeah.
I have a call in.
There's a couple calls.
There's a couple calls in trying to shake it loose.
But sometimes the wheels of government don't turn very quickly.
One person shared with me the example of it actually wasn't that they were going to call you. It was like if you didn't hear from us, you got it. Which that is not the case here. We actually need, you know, the paper. But we're working on that. Central Garage, any observations there? Other than once we get QuickBook up and running, we can do purchase orders and work orders and we'll sit down.
There's a lot of fine-tuning that still needs to be done.
I saw Jack the other day.
It's been working well.
Yeah.
He had a pneumonia, so Sean had no mechanic. And
right.
I had my hands up to here in oil.
Yeah. But, you know, we've had some preliminary conversations just around how do you work it and, you know, a work order and entering it in. I think we should be fairly okay. It's just a matter of getting all the information in. Finance, as I said, QuickBooks will be up, and we are making progress, great strides on standardizing a lot of that work. Anybody else? Any other? Oh, Senior Center. Michael DeBenedictis is going to be joining the Senior Center. So everyone's very pleased about that. The seniors are pleased. Michael's pleased. Jillian is pleased. So good day. I think that's it. Code, we'll talk about it in our departmental meeting. There's some thoughts about fees that we could continue to go after. We'll see. That's it on that list.
Yes. And you still like to? I have no problems. I don't know if anybody's talked to Peter, I believe it was, that did it last year.
I'm sorry.
Peter Nosey, I believe.
The
brushed up on Five Mile Woods.
That's up to you.
I'm fine with it. It's,
we could do it like we've done in the past, offer it up to your guys. And then
I think we have to discuss that.
Do we want to set a date for cleanup and brush dump or not?
Open it now.
Well, I think we need to have it open.
As soon as we figure out who's going to do it.
Well, we ran into a few problems last year with people dumping stumps.
Yeah, that was definitely not. And I actually received a call from somebody the other day that wanted a key so they could do that.
Well, right, after the keys were changed, that stopped.
Okay.
It's for residential. It opens, it's for residential only.
Right, well, that's the other thing. I know there's quite a few keys rolling around, so that lock needs to
be shouldn't
changed.
Be anymore because they were it was changed.
The lock or the keys?
The lock
was
changed, and after it was changed, that stopped.
Yeah.
And Peter was talking to.
So.
And then as far as townwide cleanup day, what's everyone's thoughts on doing one in the spring?
Think we should do it the same Saturday that it's always been. Was that the first or second Saturday of June?
Well, you're going to have to. I'd like to say more towards the June and July.
Whenever, but yeah, I absolutely.
I just need a tentative date so I can.
The only reason why Patrick had got that late was simply because of we weren't going to do it at first.
Right.
Then, you know, everybody was complaining because we weren't having it. And then it got to be late, that's the reason. But I agree with Sean, I think it should be around June or July.
Yeah. And my reasoning is I plan on using the landfill for stockpiling stone for paving. And if I can get rid of it May, June, and then have it at the end of June or July, I have that whole space open again.
Yeah, I mean, the time fits.
I mean, I would say end of June so people can clean up.
I just said we can
do it. So I
can
check to make sure there's not another one going on.
End of June would probably be good because it gives people time just before 4th of July weekend to clean up. And then the other thing on that cleanup day I wanted to broach is perhaps electronics cleanup day.
Why?
Hmm?
You take
it's included now.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day. So that's we talked about this last year.
Yeah.
They should have never done it last year. It's just
right.
A waste of time and the town's effort into.
So you take them no matter what?
Right. You can bring it to any transfer station and we take them at no charge. TVs, right. Computers.
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
Right. Well, when we do publicize it, we'll have to make sure that we tell people.
Well,
that
right. When we put the ad in there, just, don't bring electronics.
Yeah.
Right.
Bring it to the county. It's free.
Okay. So a June date? What date would we like? June 1st is a Wednesday.
End of June.
Saturday.
So Saturday the 26th.
Saturday the 25th.
That's graduation. Is it on Saturday this year?
I don't know.
Are they doing it Friday nights? When was the last Saturday of June? 25th?
Yes.
25th. You have 25th?
June 25th.
And is it only one Saturday? Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Okay. June 25th?
Yeah.
Everyone good?
Tentative.
And then you have to check?
Yeah.
7
okay.
to 2:30. This way you have a half hour to...
Yeah. Are we going to do it the same way as always? I'll get out of it. Brings help.
No, he's
No.
What are you doing?
The county.
So let's pending confirmation from Paul. June 25th will be the date.
Yeah.
You guys can work out details regarding time and staffing.
Staffing the village and you guys do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just put a little drill together.
Provide the truck and the containers.
Okay. June 25th.
Hmm?
Tentatively scheduled June 25th, 7 to 2:30.
But I do need a letter to my superintendent asking.
Okay, absolutely. Clerk Izzo? Thank you. All right. Thank you all. Next order of business is our presentation of the evening, and I'd like to welcome our guests, Ed Carey and Javier Barrios. From Good Energy. I had the opportunity to meet them both at a town supervisor meeting that takes place the last Friday of each month. And they are here to speak to us about some new innovations in the energy world that hopefully relate to cost savings and good things.
Thank
Gentlemen,
you.
I'm going to turn it over to you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you for your time. I've had family in the Green County about 50 years. My brother and sister all live here, so it's next month here, it's actually Cedars. So thank you for that. But regarding a little about myself, I've been in the energy business for about 20 plus years, and Javi and I've worked together for about 12 years now. And I've worked in government, I've worked for city government, I got hired by Julian, I was appointed by Bloomberg to do all the purchases for the city just for energy products, for gas, gasoline, oil, everything else, for how the city runs. And then I worked for a major oil company, Hess, and then I met with Javier, the company's got close to about 85 people, and we have offices in New York, Dallas, Peoria, Illinois, Boston, and we're opening an office in California. And we change basically anything with energy. It's green, or it's gasoline, or diesel, or it's natural gas driven, and part of that is a lot of municipalities. So we probably cover close to 700 municipalities around the United States. I personally run about close to 200 municipalities in New Jersey. I run all the purchasing for Nassau County, Suffolk County, 50 political subdivisions for the state. And in that, we do all their hedging and for natural gas, electricity, and demand response. And a new program has come out, came out in February 2015, so this is now 1 year, and it's part of Governor Cuomo's plan called the REV, Revitalization Energy Vision. And within that, probably the biggest thing is called CCA, that's an acronym for Community Choice Aggregation. And And this is being, is going all the way from the governor's office and being 100% being supported by his office and by the basically the energy czar is Audrey Zimmerman. Audrey Zimmerman is the chair of the Public Service Commission. So she's really like, wanting this to happen. What she's wanting is she's wanting municipalities to form aggregations. One to come together and basically do the cost up here. Buy in bulk, go ahead and get a bigger discount. They're learning from other states that they're doing this together and they're benefiting greatly. New York State is the seventh state in the nation to adopt CCA. And CCA is basically a program where the residents benefit, not the municipality. And the residents come together as one, and they go out and they purchase. So we, again, we've been basically, like my colleague Javier, been really all over the state. We've been up in the Adirondacks, we've been out in Western New York, we've been to Buffalo, we've been to Syracuse, we've been to Rochester, we've been all around the Capital District. And the first CCA program was a pilot program, and now, just about 3 weeks ago, it's now flowing. In 17 municipalities in Westchester, a program called Sustainable Westchester has now been launched. And they went out as a group, the residents, and bought out a new block, and they're now getting a discount from their electric. I know like all of you get bombarded by these horrible phone calls saying a guaranteed price and here's the $50 Visa card and all that like type of stuff that's it's horrible. This program actually make those telephone calls go away. Because basically we're taking over an entire market so they basically can't penetrate. And this is 100% again supported by the state. And it's basically we put you in a pool with other surrounding townships, like it's going to be see, when we had the breakfast and it was exactly Catskill, Cairo, maybe London, Hudson, or Windham, Ashland, you know, those towns, and collectively as basically as 50,000 units, go out and buy a block of power, and you'll get a discount. I mean, the discounts we're looking at are not major. I mean, collectively, as a whole, as a I mean, as an individual, you would probably see between $150 to $200 a year on your power savings. But then, collectively, as a whole, that's major money, several million dollars. And like any type of stimulus program, that money will be spent within 10 miles of the center of town. What we would do is basically we're looking for an endorsement letter from the town. And what's the endorsement? Right now, what Westchester is benefiting on this program, right now, you guys aren't allowed to do this unless you petition the Public Service Commission. And we want you to have that law in effect or order in effect. And it's how the program works is basically you have your utility. You take that price, you have a choice, the utility comes out every single month, and it fluctuates. New York State is on an index price. It changes every single month, as we all know. In other states, where this is being worked in, say, Illinois or New Jersey, they have a pegged rate. So they buy the power in February, and then the utility puts it into effect in June. And for the 1 year, it's a fixed rate. New York State does not have that. This program would give you a fixed rate, and it would be under the utility. And basically, how we feel comfortable is you have your utility rate, whatever that number is going to be. You have the option, as I said, you can go choose out of the 200 companies that are out there in serving New York and go to one of the ESCOs and hopefully get a discount there. Where we are, we will be underneath that. And I feel very comfortable about that. Is say the town of Catskill is like, I think it's 4,000 people in population. So I'm assuming your household or 2,000 households, 1,800?
About 2,000.
So around there. The average home is probably between 1,000 to 3,000 square feet, or maybe more or something. I'm a buying power of 30 million square feet. I will have that lowest price. I feel very comfortable about saying that. So I will be beating the utility. I will be beating the other ESCOs. But this is an opt-out program, not an opt-in program. Some people feel that that's unfair. They feel like, why are you pushing me into this? I'm like, I'm not pushing you to do anything. And in total actuality, I don't have a contract. So the opt-out, if you don't want to stay with me, you can opt out. If you want to go shop on your own and you beat my price, I'd be very surprised if you have that option. Again, I can't penalize you anything. Because like we have a term contract that's between 18 and 24 months or something like that. And if you want to switch every single month, that's my risk. I have to take it. Most people will not leave my program because I feel pretty comfortable. I will be under like the other top two or above. You want to use more into the technical stuff?
Sure.
Okay, there's no fee. So I can, because you leave, I can't hit you with like a $50 exit fee or $100. If you leave, then you leave. But only about 3% actually leave our program.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to fill in the blanks, and I apologize in advance if I'm going to be a little bit technical. So if I say certain acronyms, please stop me and ask questions. What am I talking about and all that stuff? But some of the technical details regarding the program with regard to billing. If all of you look and study your electric bill, you're going to see a bunch of charges, a bunch of line item charges. What's important to notice on your bill is that there's two key components to everybody's bill. We all pay from downstate to upstate. And that's your delivery cost, which is the maintenance and the transportation of power from generation plants. And then your second very important component, which is about 80% of your cost in your bill, is your supply cost. And that's the portion that we're trying to lower and trying to hit. And like Ed said, the state in New York, the tariff rate that's regulated by the Public Service Commission, is pegged to what we call balancing markets. And these balancing markets, one of them is called the day-ahead market, and the other one is the real-time market. These markets fluctuate. They change every 5 minutes. 5 minutes. There's 5 minute intervals. Okay, that's how the independent system operator, the grid operator, manages how power is transferred through the grid system. That's how they peg the tariff rates. So what you have is a situation where there's tremendous inefficiencies because the risk is assigned to the residential customer. Right? And unless you go and contract with a competitive supplier, an ESCO, you can't fix your rate. What this does is this essentially gives you a second default rate that gives you budget security. If you look on page 7 of the presentation, you see the gliding market and fluctuations that you see. And in April of 2014, we saw rates go, especially in the national grid territory, because here in Greene County, you have three utilities that overlap through the county. For national grid, the prices went up as high as 90. Your rates quadruple, essentially, from 1 month to the next. So you have a variable price as a tariff rate, no protection. You kind of float in the wind, so to speak. So essentially what this does, through an opt-out buying program that is municipally endorsed, you can offer your residents, or the town board can offer the residents a fixed price that gives you budget security. So unfortunately, in New York State, that's how it's set up. In other states, they have hedging mechanisms. They have protections in place for the tariffs. So you see places like in Pennsylvania and Maryland where rates stay low. It's because they hedge in tranches, what we call tranches buying groups. So here you don't have that. So Audrey Zimmelman understands, the chairwoman understands that because of these inefficiencies, she's putting together this municipal program. And she's actually, before the program was put into place, the petition was accepted, because we do so many of these programs, and we've written a plan of operation governance for over 200 municipalities out of New York State, she interviewed us, came to our offices to see how we can run a program. And, if you look at page 4, the Wall Street Journal has an article on what happened in Westchester, our family's talking.
Yeah, I came out last week.
So that was just last week. So this is done. This is an active program now in New York. And just to let you know, we run over 200 active programs. This is not new to us. We've done this already. You're not a guinea pig to us. So we have active programs that I'll use my colleague's words, that we've renewed time and time again, and we've done this over and over, close to 1,000 times. Steal your words.
Yeah.
So it's definitely about the program. Now, back to the technical details. What happens to me? What's going to happen when I get a bill? Am I going to get a second bill? Am I gonna, you know, what's gonna happen if my tree limbs go down? What if I have a blackout? You don't have to worry about that. In New York, there's something called POR, which means that it stands for purchase of receivables. The utility company for licensed ESCOs, they charge a very nominal fee to manage the billing and be the collection company, right? To take in the money and then spread them out or pass them on to the competitive ESCOs. So they do that. Without this in place, you cannot run a successful CC. There are certain states that only do dual billing if you're on the competitive provider. New York is one of those good states that allow for the collection to be from the incoming utility. What this allows for is any subsidy programs, any LIHEAP or any economic assistance programs or tariffs for low-income housing or whatever it is, continue to get those benefits. And at the same time, if you are in a CCA program, your wires are handled by the utility, your blackouts, your emergency calls, all that is handled still by the utility. You don't have to worry about that. The only benefit that you're going to get is that on that line item that's next to supply or electricity supply, that line item is going to go down in price. And what we've seen in Westchester, and we're the leading advisor to sustainable Westchester, we saw that be 12% delta, so 12% savings for those communities, 90,000 communities for in Conneaut territory, and then NYSEG has another about 40,000 communities. So collectively, you're talking about millions of dollars back as a stimulus package to the community. What we plan to do, and the goal of this meeting, is really to get a letter of intent from you guys so that you're on the books, that Audrey Zimmerman see that you're interested in this, and that you have the vehicle to provide this for your citizens, because that's number one. It'd be a shame to leave this power on the table and not take it, right? So this is our objective, and that's why we're traveling, like my colleague said, all over the state. And we want to create a version 2.0 for this program. Right now, Westchester's the 1.0. We want to make the rules better. We want it to be, we want the program to cross county. Right now, it's only in Westchester. So we want to make sure that not only do we aggregate Greene County, but we also do it in Columbia County. We also do it in upstate and across borders, Orange and Rockland. So we're in different counties all over, your neighboring counties, Montgomery. We're talking to the key people there. So we want to, you know, Greene County, relatively speaking, is pretty small. I mean, it's good numbers, but 50,000 is still small. We can expand and go across county. And that's our objective. That's our mission. That's what we're proselytizing here. And I think that the real problem is the way the tariffs are set up right now, because it puts all the risk to you guys. And nobody's telling you the month before that your rates are going to go four times. You have no experts looking at this stuff. Hire the consultants that are looking at the models, looking at the weather trends, looking at the volatility of the market, and at the very least informing you that there is potential for budget security or some stability. And I think it makes markets more efficient down the road, and it gives people the optionality. That's what we're providing, optionality. You can go and do whatever you want and pick as many ESCOs as you want. That's fine, too. Secondly, you could leave the program, and there are no penalties whatsoever. You can come back to the program. So
everybody follows. And no one's denied it.
And if you're on with an ESCO, you are automatically off. We don't switch you. We don't force you to switch. You're on with the program. And then if you want to leave the program,
when we went into the state of Illinois 4 years ago, about 12% of the state was moving. And 4 years later, the state of Illinois, 98% of residents are participating. We now have a contract with over 250,000 households in Massachusetts. New Jersey, we have markets on the area, but we have signed up close to 400,000. This trend is working. It's saving a lot of money. We'd like to have you guys be a part of it.
Do you have any questions?
Question. Resident has solar.
Yep.
They receive a credit on their bill because they're producing, say, more than they consume.
Yep.
Now, how does that work if they buy into this?
Essentially, if they're a prosumer, right, and they're putting, you know, electricity back into the grid, you know, they're just offsetting. They could be on the program. It, you know, know, there's no.
Well, during
bandwidth.
Winter months, during winter months, they may.
There are no bandwidths, right? So if you know, they still get the same bill. It's just their kilowatt hours go down at the lower rate. And if they're, you know, it's a net zero effect, then not only do they benefit from, you know, the low cost of supply, but also the benefit of reducing their delivery charges. You have delivery charges and you have supply. If you're a solar customer, you're net zeroing and you have no bill.
Would it affect if they're 50% and they're 50% of our cheaper load plus their whatever they're producing?
From a hedging.
So it's additive.
From a risk perspective, it doesn't matter because you're spread so thin across so many residents that if the supplier, the wholesale supplier, is doing the entire town, it's only a very small delta, very small percentage that's going to affect it. So we are not concerned. Solar is not going to take us out of the market.
My second big question would be, as you stated before, Greene County is relatively small. What other counties do you think will pair up with us to make the buying power high enough to get it?
We can take you out on your own. And like, you know, we're going to look at both models. Like, we're talking to Orange Rockland. They're very, very pro with this. They want to move forward with this. We're going to try to blend you with some of their towns. If that doesn't work, you know, we're going to go to Columbia. We're going to, you know, we've spoken to Albany twice.
That's the county that comes to mind
Yeah, we'll try to blend you into that as well.
Excellent.
Like, they're moving. You know, the mayor's very interested in it. We've met with her twice, and you know, we're just going slow.
I think that, you know, the interesting thing about Columbia County is that we might have to do a couple. To be quite frank, we might do a couple of groups because you have three utilities. So we'd like to do what's important about doing that cross county. Aggregation, like I was saying, is that we really need to pull you in with NYSEG communities, right? National grid communities for those in National Grid.
Yeah, they're all utility driven.
And then
Central Hudson.
Central Hudson,
right? So it's important to, and that's the,
they can't cross.
That's the 1.0 version. Right now, you can only do it in one county, right? Westchester.
We're going to look at a couple of models. And, you know, like, we're not going to come to a deal with we got you 5%. Who cares that? I'm going to try to get something, you know. Get you something on your own if it's 10% of that's a good deal. If we can get another county or another township involved with it, you know, we're doing the same right now in the state of Illinois, they're hitting 35%. Those are major numbers. But I'm not gonna guarantee that. I'm gonna say, you know, I'm gonna try to hit 10 and above. Maybe I can get 15. I don't know. But you know, the numbers are gonna come in, and you know, if you're on your own and we hit a pretty good saving, hey. You know, if we can blend it in with the other stuff, you know, we're gonna try that. Mm-hmm. If we're saving to you, I know it's gonna give you more enticing to endorse this program.
We feel very confident because there's so many ineffective ways that they purchase certain components, ancillary services, capacity costs, install capacity, and there are premiums to those things, so we could buy those better. And also, you know, it depends on the market. You know, if there's plenty of gas right now, we're at the lowest natural gas prices in history. Just for inflation. So if we see that gas or the gas storage depleted, and we're now getting concerned, and now we're thinking any big storm can affect you guys, and we can see the 19-cent pricing pull the vortexes of fear again, it might be a situation where you guys might want to just take out an insurance policy, and even if the savings are 6 or 7, it might be better than just fluctuating out. So we're going to look at those models, and the nice thing about that, even though you might not pull the trigger, we're going to be informing our aggregation on what the market aspect is, and even giving, you know, multiple presentations coming back and kind of getting more technical without getting too
technical. Basically, how the program works is, like, you know, everyone will be informed. Our job is to go out and really do an information. Like, I know if someone's toaster doesn't work, like, they call City Hall and they say, you know, like, why is this working? I know it's not your job, but people still call Town Hall and they want to know why the cable's out. This has nothing to do with municipal government, but they still, you know, they call. Like, we're going to, like, part of how we're very confident on this, like, we're going to do a major advertising blitz here. We're going to get billboards, we're going to go on local cable TV, we're going to go into the local newspaper. Every single resident in your utility bill will be receiving. There's a...
And the last page of your presentation shows what we've done, some little thumbnails of all the work that we've done.
Yeah, every single one of you will receive one of these. This is just basically an elevator speech. You're explaining sort of the program.
Thank you.
But you will be informed of this. And if you propose this and you don't want that, you just opt out. Again, right now you've had two options. Where we would like to have you be a better consumer and have three options.
So an interesting thing about, obviously we have the commodity expertise that's been in place for, I've been at my company for 16 years, been in the energy market that long. So understand how markets work. But on top of that, in the last page of the presentation, just as experience, we passed close to 200 voter referenda in the state of Illinois where the law mandates people to have a referendum.
Have to vote.
In New York State, you don't have to have a referendum to set up a utility service type program. Yeah, this is just basically an ordinance or resolution in local law. So my point is, obviously we have the experience to even do campaigning. So the outreach that Ed is talking about is important, and we understand that piece. It's part and parcel of the program. It's not just the expertise on the lobby, but the importance in the communication to the public.
Township will not spend any money. This is all of our community. We don't need the approval or anything, but you're not going to be spending any money on any of this. Yeah. Well, the savings is the other stick.
Any other questions?
What kind of pushback do you get? So a detractor would say, or anything. Are there competitors in this environment that?
Right now in the state, are we really only one other company is doing this that we know.
Okay.
But we do this in New Jersey. We do this in Illinois. We just picked up in October. We took 300,000 in Massachusetts. We've done this 1,000 times. Our competitor, who's now licensed to do this as well, has never done this.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about competitors. I want to know what the if I Googled this, what were the cons?
So essentially, in certain cases when people don't understand that they can opt out of it, they think,
you're stuck.
Governments tell me what to do. Who really don't like it are what I call the C-rated ESCOs, who prey and have deceptive practices on residential customers. So the calls that you get from the Philippines or from overseas, they hate this. Now, the good news about this program is that Audrey Zibelman, the PSC chair, just issued a stop order on all
guarantees,
on all guaranteed saving programs and variable product programs to residential markets, those that are what we call mass markets, and non-demand meters, those that don't commercial meters without getting into it. So she just put a full stop order, and the C-rated suppliers obviously flocked to the state courts and executed a stay on the order and postponed until April. So I think that the good news is that she carved out in that order the program for CCA. Just so you know, the respect level that she has for a municipally endorsed program over those C-rated suppliers that are preying on, the public.
There's only going to be when we do the bid, and we'll send it out to, 10 companies, but I feel very comfortable, there's only going to be about 4 to 5 that can qualify for this transaction.
Mm-hmm.
They're large transactions.
And operationally, they're very intense.
They're,
so only a few wholesalers can really understand how to do this.
Those are those ones we would qualify for.
So you said there was an agreement, that there was a timeline to this agreement? You said 18 to...
No, that's...
It could be
any. The terms could be any. And the terms, we decide on that. You're going out into an open market and you're looking for those dips in the open market. So maybe this could start September 16th, maybe November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look at those different dips in the market to see where we get the best price. We just did it in the state of Illinois. They just signed a 36-month. That's a 3-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to use? I'm trying to. If you want to get your toes a little wet in the pool, maybe 18-month, maybe typical is 24.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most municipalities do.
That's what Westchester did.
Yeah.
24 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to go long-term, but, I mean, you're also looking at a price that is at a 19-year low. You know, it's a pretty good price. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, we're seeing prices that are going back to, you know, 98, you know, like, you know, 97. The gas markets, I mean, they're so unbelievably flooded right now. And as a, you know, natural gas is the primary feedstock that creates electricity, so they go literally hand in hand with each other. You know, gas is cheaper than coal. I mean, not too many places you use fuel, like energy generation. And,
is there any downside to the consumer from, like, Central Hudson or another utility if the community signs on to this?
Again, it's utility driven. And, like, you know, we're, you know, I might get 15% in National Grid, I might get 5% in Central Hudson, I don't know. You know, it's, I can't just say because you live in this community, you're going to get that price. If you, but if you live in that utility zone, you'll all share this exact same price.
I wasn't talking about the price, I was talking about, so if Catskill signs on for this,
yep.
Okay, and then our utility is Central Hudson,
right.
Okay, and I have a problem with my electric.
Okay, I understand. The your utility bill is like a National Grid. They don't make a single penny dime on the supply side. That's all passed through to the customer. They make 100% of their profit on the transportation and then the distribution of the power. So, like, let's just say you're in California and you flew back and accidentally you left your sunglasses in a restaurant. And I tell people, like, okay, what's Brown? Brown is UPS. So the very nice in the restaurant, put your eyeglasses in the UPS, wrap it up, mail it to you, get it in your home, and like while it's being transferred, who owns your eyeglasses? You own your eyeglasses. UPS owns the package. That's exactly how a utility works. They're mailmen. They pick up power and they deliver it and they make a profit. They do not own what's inside that line. You do.
One last thing. We're gonna have me. Oh, sorry.
In this program, why do you need municipal consent?
That's how the administrative rule is written. That's
by the state,
yeah.
By the governor?
By the PSC.
Basically, it's like, that's another one people always say, like, why does this have to be opt-in? Why can't we opt-in? If I'd like to, I can opt-in. And it's basically an opt-in program. Like, right now, there are opt-in programs. And in the state, it's 180 degree difference. Like about 15% of the state actually shops for the power. Most residents, they don't shop for power. They'd be very good people, but 15% do it. And there's an 85% of it, it's an open market. Like it is literally 180, as I said, 85 to 90% of all businesses in the state of New York shop for the power. And about 15% just don't do it for whatever reason. It's like, they like that security. Their loads are literally 20 to 50 times larger than a residential home. So they go out and whatever you do, energy is an operating cost, and if it's 5% or 25%, whatever business is, it's a chunk of, like, you know, of your annual revenue. And so the difference between opt-out and opt-in is we obviously need the numbers to go out and get the price. And getting those numbers is, you know, the companies I was mentioning before, they have really no interest in these residential business. But you bring in 50,000 homes, they wake up. Like, you know, we also, as a company, we don't have the manpower to go knock on 20,000 homes. We just can't do it. You know, we might feel over the course of a year, we'll hit 1,500, but, you know, we can't do it without coming together as one.
He's trying, he can't do it.
Yeah,
he's trying so hard. Well, I think we set up enough, rather than a lot.
Yeah.
So, we respect your time. Thank you for, unless anybody else has any
questions from the board? No. Let us ponder.
Okay. And if anyone,
we love your support, and that's all it is right now. Nothing else.
Uh-huh. Let us, have you made it to any of the other towns in the county?
Yeah, we
presented Cairo.
Exactly on next week
uh-huh.
For both the town and
Durham.
Durham has our term of service,
yeah.
Term sheet,
okay.
Which you requested early, and we obviously met the administrator.
Okay.
Continue to press on.
So we'll take it under advisement, and we'll get back to you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll keep these in case anybody wants to come in. Thank you. Okay. That concludes the public portion of our meeting. I need to entertain a motion to go into executive session, including George June, our ambulance director, for the purposes of reviewing some litigation scenarios and some personnel scenarios.
Motion.
Motion from
include
Patrick.
The town clerk,
too. Oh, and include the town clerk.
I'll second the motion.
Second the motion by Mr. Cordiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried, and the board does not intend to come out into public session, so this will conclude our evening. Thank you all for coming.